Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. We have a mission statement in our church, a statement that we desire to be true for us as a congregation, as well as for us as individual parts of that congregation. The mission statement is written on the back wall of our church: to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Today we are starting a new sermon series. It's going to be a sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, as it is called. It's found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And it is my prayer and it is my hope that as we study these words of Jesus together from Matthew's Gospel, that the words of our mission statement will be for us more than just words that we repeat, but it will be a truth that we actually live. That we truly are becoming people who are knowing Christ, becoming like Christ, and sharing Christ. And I believe that this sermon, these three chapters from the teaching of Jesus, as much as anywhere in Scripture, can help us to empower this mission statement in our church and in our individual lives. Today we're going to begin the sermon by reading together the first 10 verses from Matthew chapter 5, and I invite you to turn there with me. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. This morning I want to focus on the first two verses of Matthew chapter 5, to focus on Jesus as a teacher. Then starting next Sunday and each of the seven Sundays following, we will be focusing in turn on each of the eight what are called the Beatitudes that we find in verses 3 through 10 of what I just read. Each Sunday, we'll have an opportunity to really explore each of those amazing teachings of Jesus. But today, I want to take a look in an overall kind of sense. What does it mean that Jesus is a teacher? And what is it that he is seeking to teach us? Now, one of the ways in which I encourage us as a congregation, not only on a Sunday morning to be working together and studying together the Word of God, but throughout the week to be in the Word of God in different ways that enhance our understanding and give us additional input for the coming Sunday sermon, is through what we call the Bible reading plan. We have a bookmark. It looks like this. This bookmark started this week and it goes to the end of March, and we get to the end of it, we'll give you a new bookmark that'll take us all the way through the end of May. these three chapters, the Sermon on the Mount, will be our Sunday morning sermon series for the next 5 months. We'll really have a chance to explore it carefully. These were distributed last week here in worship. If you were not here last Sunday, you will see them in your pews. That's why I like to pick this bright green color. They really stand out. They're very obvious. I encourage you, if you didn't pick one up, to pick one up today. You will notice, as many of you are aware, each day has a scripture passage. As I just said, each of the scripture passages during a given week speak to the coming week's sermon. It's not just about what Jesus says in a particular verse in the Sermon on the Mount, although that is what we'll be talking about on Sunday morning, but we'll see the many other places, or at least some of them, in Scripture where we learn both Old and New Testament, and we are deepened in what Jesus is telling us. So I really encourage you to be involved in Scripture on a daily basis. If you have other parts of Scripture that you're reading and other devotions, that's wonderful. I hope that you will include this in your daily Bible reading. Also, to help with that, every week in the bulletin, I include a devotion. These are devotions that I've written, a couple of paragraphs on each of the scripture passages, you know, one for each day of that particular coming week. So these are in your bulletin every Sunday. If you're not here on a Sunday, these are also on our church website. And for all of you at home who aren't here picking up a bulletin today, you can find both the Bible reading plan and the devotions for this week and all the subsequent weeks as they're published. They will be on our church website, www.congopress.org, and you just see the button at the top that says Daily Bible Reading, and you will find these there. So I really encourage you. Again, these are just my thoughts, many that I borrowed from other places, commentaries and so on, but just to give you a little bit of background and perhaps a little bit more information about the scripture that you are reading that particular day. So these are vehicles, these are methods by which I'm hoping that the words of Jesus found in the Sermon on the Mount are deepened by the entire Word of God. For all of Scripture has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. As Paul says, it's profitable for us. It's good for us to be in God's Word. So let's be in God's Word every day, not just simply on Sunday. Having said that, today, Sunday, we are going to look at the first couple of verses here, where it says very clearly, we're told that Jesus sat down with his disciples to teach them. Now, I want to talk about what is Jesus' purpose in teaching? What is he seeking to accomplish? And the reason this is important to think about is if we are just too quickly go, well, he's a teacher, he probably does what all teachers do, then we're going to miss probably one of the most important points about the whole Sermon on the Mount. We're used to thinking of teachers as people who give us information about a particular topic. That's how teachers work in our school, for example. When we were growing up, we went to school and we had a teacher who wanted to give us information about math, to teach us math, or another teacher taught us science, or another teacher a foreign language. We had an English teacher, so on and so forth. Their desire was to teach us about a particular topic so that we became better at that topic. We learned things about that topic. We were able to kind of repeat what we had learned in the various quizzes and tests and papers and so on and so forth. We were becoming educated through the process of teaching. And it would be natural to assume that that's what Jesus is doing. The purpose of the Sermon on the Mount, we might assume, is to be educated in how to be a Christian. But that is not what Jesus is about. Yes, of course he is giving information. But it is much, much more than just giving information about how to live as a good Christian, or how to be a better Christian, or how to be a good kind of Christian, or a blessed Christian. We'll talk more about that in the coming weeks, but as I read, that word was repeated, blessed are those and blessed are these, and what does that mean? But it sounds good. I'd like to be blessed. I better listen to what Jesus has to say. There's much more than just information about the Christian life. The purpose of the Sermon on the Mount, and indeed the whole purpose of Jesus' entire life and ministry, is not to give us information about the Christian life, but that we may be transformed into people who are living our lives like he lived his life. Or as we say in our mission statement, to become like Him. Not to become like a description of a good Christian, not to become a little bit better than we are today, a little bit more humble, a little bit more merciful, a little bit more peaceful, a little bit more willing to put up with persecution for the sake of Christ, which are all the words He just spoke that I read. But no, it is to be transformed so that we become like Christ in the area of mercy and peace and meekness and awareness of our need for God. And there's a huge difference between those two things. And that is what I trust the Word of God, not through my words, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, will help us to see, to understand, and ultimately to live, which is the entire purpose, is to live the Sermon on the Mount. But not to live it as Steve would live it. See, here's the key. And here's the real hard part of the Christian life. Jesus isn't saying, Steve, you need to live the Sermon on the Mount better than Steve is living it. What Jesus is saying is, Steve, you need to live the Sermon on the Mount as I, Jesus, would live it if I were Steve. Let me use myself as an example for what I just said. For me to become like Christ, our mission statement, what Jesus calls us to do, become like me, I have to ask myself this particular question, given my situation, my role, my responsibility, where I'm at in my life. How would Jesus live the life of Steve as pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church in Lewiston, Idaho, on January 8th, 2023? Not how can Steve be better at what he does, but how would Jesus do what Steve does if Jesus were here right now, taking on Steve's responsibilities? There is a huge difference. Because in the first instance, how can Steve be a better pastor? Basically, then it's up to Steve to be working at being a better person. Jesus said, blessed are the humble. I need to be more humble as a pastor. Let me work at that. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. I need to do a better job at making sure there's peace in our church and I'm at peace with people. And if we disagree, we need to... And you understand what I'm saying? That's not what Jesus is asking of Steve or of you or of any disciple who belongs to Him. Not how can you do a little bit better? Let me give you some information so you can learn some things. So maybe one day if somebody gives you a test, you can do good on the test. How to be a better pastor. Fill in the blank. You know? No. Steve, I want your life to be transformed to such an extent that you're becoming so much like me that in your life as a pastor, you're pastoring as I would pastor if I were you. You got it. Really? Yes, really, says Jesus. That's what my teaching is about. That is what my life is about. And that is what I'm calling you to be as my disciple. You have it as a mission statement in your church, Jesus would say to me. Become like me. What do you think that means, Steve? Be a little bit better person? No, I know that's not it. Be a little bit more humble? No, that's not it. What do you want, Jesus? I want you to become like me. How do I know I'm becoming like you? When you're doing more what you do, like I would do it if I were you. Well, that's hard. I know it's hard. You're the Son of God. I'm just me. I know. That's why you, Steve, need to be transformed. There needs to be something in you that is different from just who you are as a human being. And what that is me living in you. Because I do live in you know, Steve. And my Holy Spirit is at work in your life, Steve, so that His strength and in His power, you are being transformed. You need to just open yourself to that and be available to that and let me be at work in you and through you. So it's not just Jesus about you sitting in heaven, you've given me the instructions, and now it's my job to go out and try to be the very best Christian I can be. No. I'm not interested in you being the very best Steve you can be, says Jesus to me. I'm not interested in you being the very best pastor that you can be. I'm not interested in you being the very best husband, the very best father, the very best neighbor, the very best friend, the very best fill in the blank that you can be. I'm interested in you being the kind of pastor, husband, father, friend, neighbor, whatever the role is, whatever the category is, that would reflect who I am in you. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in his letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul says, it is now that I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, he says, it is no longer I who live. Paul says, I'm no longer living as Paul. Now, if Paul said that to me, I'd look at him and say, what do you mean? You're right in front of me. You're Paul. And he goes, yeah, I'm not talking about kind of my physical human self. I know I'm still Paul, but the life I live, my purpose, my intentionality, who I am, is no longer Paul. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. What I desire, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, what I believe Jesus is saying to each one of us, is that He desires not that we live the very best life we can, but that we begin to live His life as He would live it if He were us. And that's very important. It's not about trying to figure out how do we go back 2,000 years to Palestine in the Middle East and live like Jesus did. We all put on robes and wear rope sandals and try to figure out how He did what He did. No. He's not saying, Steve, you need to live as I lived 2,000 years ago. You need to live as I would live if I were you. How does that work? You need to be transformed. You need to gradually become less and less Steve and become more and more like me. Really? Look at your wall, Steve. It says it right there. Become like Christ. If that mission is truly going to be your mission, if you're going to know me, if you're going to become like me, and if you are going to share me, I'm not interested in you sharing information any more than I'm interested in you reading my Sermon on the Mount as if it were information about the Christian life. I want you to share me. And how does Steve share Christ? By becoming like Christ. Not by just giving people information about Christ. And how can I become like Christ unless I am knowing Christ? And what I know Christ is saying to me in this Sermon on the Mount is be transformed. When you leave the sanctuary, Steve, when you leave the sanctuary, members of Congregational Presbyterian Church, when you leave this service, those of you who are joining us via live stream, I'm not asking you to go out and be a better person. I'm not asking you to go out and try harder. I'm not asking you to go out and sin less. I'm asking you to become like me. And the very first thing you have to say is, I can't do it. Yes, because it's not about you. Jesus is saying it's about me. You call yourself a Christian. Have you thought about what that means? A Christian Christ? That you are Christ's ones? It is so much more than just knowing things about Jesus and acting as if that makes a difference. To be a Christian is to be like Christ. And it is to understand, together with Paul, that now Christ lives in me. Now, that's not a choice, that's a reality. If you're a Christian, Christ lives in you, the Spirit lives in you. If Christ doesn't live in you, you're not a Christian. And those aren't the words of the pastor, those are the words of the Word of God. So we're not talking here about how you become a Christian. The Sermon on the Mount is not for people to learn how to become a Christian. We have other parts of Scripture that teach us that. This is for disciples. He sat down with His disciples and He began to teach them. They were already following Him. They'd already committed their life to Him. They were already hanging out with Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount church that day. They'd already made a commitment. They'd left everything to follow Him. That's already happened. That's back in Matthew, you know, chapters 3 and 4. In the other Gospels, similarly, at the beginning of the ministry. That's not what this is about. This is about now that you're a follower, now that you're a Christian, now that you are a disciple. What kind of person are you going to be? And I'm not interested in incremental improvement, Jesus is saying. I want it all. Unless you are willing to lose your life, you will never be able to find my life, Jesus says. It's all or nothing. And the glorious part of the all or nothing is that what we have to do is nothing, and what He does is all. See, for me to go out and try to be a better person, I'm just going to have to work hard, and I'm going to have to figure out how to do better what I think Jesus wants me to do. And it's just about me and me and me. And all God does is He's just keeping a heavenly scorecard. And depending on how I think about Him, He's kind of like Santa Claus, checking His list, seeing how it's been naughty or nice, right? That's what God does, right? I do my part, and then He judges and decides whether it's good enough. And Jesus says, no. That is not what I'm saying. What is your part? Do nothing, Steve. What is my part? Let me do it all in you and through you. And when you make yourself available, I will be able to do the work in you and through you. And so how will I, Jesus Christ, be in the world? How will I, Jesus Christ, be at Congregational Presbyterian Church? How will I, Jesus Christ, be in your family, with your children, with your grandchildren, with your neighbors, with your friends, Steve? How will that happen? In you, Steve. Not you, Steve, telling all these different groups and people about me and then hoping they figure out how to get in touch with me. I want to be in touch with them through you. And the only way that's going to happen is you are going to have to step aside so that you are becoming like me. That's a transformation. It's not Steve who will go to heaven one day. It's Christ in Steve that will transport me into eternity. Now, that's true whether I'm a good disciple or a terrible disciple. That's true whether I pay any attention to the Sermon on the Mount or just go, I don't have time for this. That's salvation. But that's the reality. You and I do not inherit eternal life because of who we are. We inherit eternal life because of who Jesus Christ is. But He says, let's not wait to heaven for that transformation. Let's work on it right now. That's why you're still in the world. Be my disciple. Become like me. Seek to live your life in such a way as I would live your life if I were you. That's what I want to work with you on. That's what I want to help you understand. That's what I want to talk with you about in my Sermon on the Mount. And that's what I am praying and trusting that the Holy Spirit will lead us to think about and to read about and to listen to one another about these next 5 or so months as we work our way through these 3 amazing chapters. Later in Matthew, it's in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46, Jesus tells a couple of just really short parables. It's about the kingdom of heaven. If you notice, and you will notice that as we work our way through the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about the kingdom of heaven all the time. The kingdom of heaven is Jesus' way. It's a phrase of talking about the sphere, if you will, if you think of it this way, the sphere or the place in which those who belong to the kingdom live and how they live. A disciple is a person, Jesus would say, who's a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You're not a citizen of the world anymore. You become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. So we need to understand what the kingdom of heaven is and what that looks like. But primarily, if we're to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, or we already are, I should say, as citizens of heaven, how we're to live, how should we live as a citizen of heaven? Well, we should live as the chief residents of that kingdom. And who's the chief resident of the kingdom of heaven? Is Jesus. So we better take our cue from him on how to live, and that's what the kingdom of heaven is about. So he says here, this is the value of the kingdom of heaven, or the importance of the kingdom of heaven, these two parables. The Sermon on the Mount is teaching us about how to live like him, okay? But these two parables about the value of living like him, if you will, the value of the kingdom. He says, again, Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. What's the value of the kingdom of heaven? It is so valuable. To live this kind of life is worth so much that it is worth selling everything you have to own it. It's worth giving up everything that you have to be a part of it. It is worth everything and anything that God asks to live in it and to be blessed. If you want to be blessed as a Christian, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the people. That you got it, right? All the Beatitudes, we'll be looking at them here in the next 8 weeks. If you want to be blessed in the kingdom, the only way to be blessed is to be willing to give up anything and everything God asks in order to become like Christ. And is it worth it? Well, that's what the parables are about. Once you believe that it's worth it, then it's yours. Only those who are willing to lose their life will find it, Jesus says. And so what is ours? What is ours is everything that is Christ's. See, we live the Christian life, and Jesus says, you know, I want you to love, and I want you to be filled with joy and with peace and with patience and kindness and goodness and fruit of the Spirit and all these other ways that we talk about. And we go, well, then I need to go out and get some peace, and I need to figure out the joy and how do I love people better? Oh, I don't do a very good job. And Jesus loves, love my enemies. That's in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, wait till we get to that one. Talk about things that are hard to give up. I really like not loving my enemies. You want me to give that up? Yep. Is it worth it? Worth everything. So, what do I have for you, Jesus says, if you become like me? What are these blessings? It is you then receive what I receive. What does Jesus say about love? He says to his followers, love one another how? By being a better person? Love one another how? By being nicer to each other? Love one another how? Some of you already know it. You're saying it. You know. But don't jump there too quickly, because we don't do that. Jesus says, love one another, and we go, mm. And we just, it's like we totally forget about the second part. As I have loved you. And we go, oh, well, Jesus was nice to his disciples, so I need to be nice. No, he wasn't. Have you read lately what Jesus said to his disciples? I'm exaggerating. Of course, he was nice to his disciples, but I think you get the point. It isn't be like me in terms of being a better person. Love as I have loved because I am Christ. And Steve, If you are going to love in a way where you will be blessed, you need to love through becoming like Christ. Joy. This I have told you, Jesus says in John when he's talking to them about his own death and resurrection. This I have told you so that you may have joy. That sounds really good. Now here comes the critical part. And that my joy may be in you. That we may have joy, then we go around and looking for how can I be happier as a Christian? Where can I find some joy? Who can give me some joy? Is there something here in the church where I can go to the joy class? You know, whatever. No, that my joy may be in you. How can the joy of Christ be in us if Christ is not in us? See, that's why we don't have joy. That's why we don't love. My peace I give you, says Christ, not as the world gives. My peace, as I have loved you, my joy. And on down the list of anything that you want to pick out that's part of the Christian life, where does it truly become such a reality to us that we will be thoroughly and completely blessed by it? Only through Christ in us. Only by becoming like Christ. So we're just getting started. If you're sitting there kind of with a big question mark over your head, and believe you me, I've one over my head too. How does all this work? How is this going to happen? If Christ is willing to share this with us, and if he's going to tell us that I can transform you by the Holy Spirit, then we need to believe that. And we need to step into it. And let's take that journey together. And let's begin to see and begin to say, Lord, show me this. Help me with this. The Sermon on the Mount is right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry to his disciples. He's with them for several more years before he ascends into heaven. And we know that they don't get it until Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. And Jesus even tells them that. He says, you don't get it. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will help you understand all of these things that I've told you. And then you will live them. And that's exactly what happened. And they went out and lived them. Not because they were smarter, not because they'd hung around Jesus, because Jesus was in them through the Holy Spirit. My Spirit I give you, Jesus says. Why? So you can become like me. There is no other way we can become like Jesus except by his Holy Spirit that he gives us. And it must transform us. I cannot become like Jesus and still remain Steve. In my humanity, in my personality, in my views. I can only become like Jesus by him being in me and at work through me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We are setting out on a tremendous journey, Lord, one that you laid out for us, I believe, in the Sermon on the Mount. It's not about a journey moving from place to place and in some sense advancing. It's not a journey in the sense of getting to the end of chapter 7 and now being perfect. We will not be perfect this side of heaven. The Bible is clear. But it is about growing more like you, to become more like you, not as we are in ourselves, but by being transformed. So we truly are becoming you. Become like Christ. So Lord, that there's a lot of mystery in that. There's a lot of how does that work? There's a lot of I don't quite understand it. And there are many, many people who've studied this and lived this for much, much longer than any of us have, including myself, who still say I'm not sure about all of this. And that's part of life as a human being. That'll be part of life in this world. But Lord, that is not going to stop us from moving forward, that is not going to stop us from desiring this pearl of great price, this treasure worth more than anything else. The challenge will be, are we willing to give up our life so that we may take on your life? We pray that we may. In Jesus' name, amen.